Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Experiencing God's Glory, from the series Exodus, and helps you discover how true rest is found in worshiping Him and trusting His provision. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I don't have to look at your schedule to tell you this. There's nothing more important on your schedule than the public worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just not. I got the same golf clap in the first service. Because we say, yeah, I believe that, and I love the Lord, and I'm doing all, come on, man, you can't really tell me that gathering with the saints, here's what I'll tell you. Yes, I will, and I'll tell you this, because I meet people all the time that I believe are genuinely born again, who genuinely love the Lord, who I believe are genuinely going to heaven if they die, that don't attend church on a regular basis. And here's what I can tell you about every single person that falls into that category. They are not the fullness of everything God has designed them to be. You cannot be apart from the public worship of the Lord. For Israel, it was paramount. For the church, it's paramount. So I don't want to come to Brave anymore. Then pick another church and prioritize that church and be there every single week in glorifying Him. And demonstrate by your behavior, not your lips, that worship is of primary importance to you. Okay? That's what He's telling the people. He goes, if you want to experience My glory, if you want to experience what I'm like, then this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to prioritize My preeminence perpetually. Notice what He tells Israel later in Isaiah chapter 58. He tells them, you know, you go through the religious motions of fasting, but you don't really fast because you want what I want. And then He tells them this about keeping the Sabbath in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on My holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He said, work for 6 days. Do everything you need to do. Get your house in order. I mean, work hard at it. But one day a week, I'm telling you, if you'll devote all that to Me, you'll set aside your sports. You'll set aside your leisure activities. You'll set aside your hobbies. You'll set aside getting ready for the next day. And you'll give that whole day to Me. Just watch and see if I don't fill you. Now, we live in a culture that's very anxious. We live in a culture that has all sorts of insecurities. It's because they don't prioritize the worship of the Lord. If you want rest, then prioritize the worship of the Lord. And I can tell you, I mean, unless something happens that is unforeseeable, we will meet next Sunday at the exact same time. So you're welcome to set your calendar according to it. We meet on the first Tuesday of every month. You can set your calendar according to it. We meet in cadres. You can set your calendar according to it. Make Sundays, Tuesdays, and cadres your primary form of worship if Brave is your home church. Let nothing get in the way of that. Make that central to all that you do, and you watch if God doesn't bless you. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus came on the earth, they had a problem with Jesus because He was doing most of His miracles, if not all of them, on the Sabbath. He was healing people's hands. He was restoring people's sight. Like, that's wrong. That goes against the Sabbath. You're doing work. Jesus said, what's the Sabbath for? It's to do good. If I'm honoring My Father and serving God's people, I'm doing good. Sabbath rest doesn't mean if somebody has a heart attack, you're like, well, I'd love to help you. I didn't know CPR, but it's the Sabbath. Say hi to Jesus for me. That's not what the Sabbath is for. The Sabbath's for honoring God and serving. And we'll talk about serving here in a minute. But it means this, prioritize. I mean, you look at your own life and nobody can tell you what to do. Nobody's making you. And if you come to church because my pastor's going to get mad because he notices if I'm not there, I don't notice. We're big enough now, I don't see. I'm just telling you that the Word of God wants you to know, God wants you to know that He wants you to prioritize Him, not with your lips, but with your actions. And that worship is central, absolutely central to your ongoing experience of the Lord. And it's hard to do because you have to tell your coach, sorry, we're not doing Sunday mornings. You have to tell your friends, sorry, we're not doing Sunday. We already have Sunday morning. As for me and my house, we'll worship the Lord. That's what it looks like. So experiencing God's glory was predicated on prioritizing preeminence perpetually, regularly, every single week. Number two, it's this. Experiencing God's glory was predicated upon releasing resources readily. If you're bothered by point number one, you're going to love this point. Releasing resources readily. Notice what he says in 4-9. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded." So who's commanding this? Not Moses. It's the Lord commanding this. "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins, and acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod, and for the breastpiece." What was he saying? He's like, here's what I want. I want you to release resources to me. I want your gold. I want your silver. I want your bronze. I want the strong acacia wood. I want you to give me everything I need to build what I need built. Is this because God needs our resources? Friends, if you're a multi-billionaire and you gave God everything you have, he's no better off than he is right now. He doesn't need you to give to him as if he's in poverty and like, I need you. We can't get it done without you. That's not our God. God knows this, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And what God wants is your heart. So notice what he asked for. He asked for those who are willing and those who are generous. What does willing mean? Willing means not only I want to, but I'm demonstrating I want to by giving what God is requiring of me. Because some people say, well, I'm willing. I just can't right now. Willing means no matter what, I'm going to give something because I'm willing to do this. Generous means not calculated. Generous means lavish. You remember the woman that broke the alabaster jar of perfume over Jesus right before he was crucified? And the disciples were saying, what a waste. That was like a year's worth of wage for that perfume. We could have sold it and we could have helped the poor. And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. She's generous. She's lavish. She was giving to me her best. And this story will be told about her for generations to come. Lavish, generous giving is what the Lord requires. And it looks different for everybody, doesn't it? I mean, for some, it's a large amount. For others, it's a small amount that's a large amount. Remember, one of the greatest New Testament givers was the widow that didn't even have a penny. She had two small copper coins worth less than a penny. And when she put in those two small copper coins and they went clinking in the jar, Jesus stood up and told his disciples, that's what I'm talking about. This woman put in out of her poverty more than all the others combined. She gave everything she had to live on. She's trusting me. That was a lavish gift. So again, it's not amount that's generous. It's percentage that's generous. Like, what does it look like for you to be lavish to the Lord that's crazy, sacrificially? That's what he was asking for. He said, give that way. Now, some people, when it comes to church, they'll say, well, I'm just serving the Lord. We're going to talk about that in a second. But releasing resources is one way of worshiping the Lord. And if you're not releasing resources, you're not worshiping in the fullness of what God requires. Young people, let me talk to you for a second. Some of you are in high school. So I don't have a job yet. I don't have to do that. You have money. You have more net disposable income than anybody. Meaning this, you don't have any bills. You don't have any kids. You don't have anything. Every bit of money you have is for you and what you want. And if you can't get in the habit now of being generous with God, you'll never get in the habit later. Again, it's not amount. It's heart. Lord, what does it look like for me to be generous to you? If you babysit, be generous with the Lord. If you have a job, be generous with the Lord. That's what it means. Why? Because God was generous with us. God was lavish with us. What did God give us? Well, he sent his only begotten son to be slaughtered for us. He gave it all for us. He gave his life for us. There's nothing you could give back to God and have equality. Well, you gave me your life and I gave you $10,000. You can give God $2 billion and that's not enough for what he's given to you. Amen? But notice this in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, and there's a lot of verses that speak the same way. Paul says, now I say this, he who sows sparingly, that means if you give sparingly, will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Here's what he says. If you're generous with me, I'll be generous with you. Now, he's not teaching this. You give me $10, I'll give you $100. You give me $100, I'll give you $1,000. You give me $1,000, I'll give you $10,000. He's not saying that. He's saying, when you're generous with me, I'll be generous with you. Because not only control your resources, I control your health, I control your job, I control your family, I control, you're generous with me, I'll take care of you. And I will meet all of your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If you sow sparingly, you're gonna receive from me sparingly. That's what he's saying. Not talking about monetary gifts so that you get back. And here's what he said. What kind of giver does God like? Not begrudgingly, not under compulsion. He says, I don't want those kind of givers. And some of you might say, well, good, because I'm not giving, because that's where I'm at right now. No, God loves a cheerful giver. It means change your heart. Get excited to give because of all that God's given to you.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Experiencing God's Glory, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how true rest is found in worshiping Him and trusting His provision. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, we'll say thanks with a downloadable 7-day devotional workbook based on Pastor Jeff's Family Fortified series. It's a great way for you to dive deeper into this month's teaching. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
If you sow sparingly, you're going to receive from me sparingly. That's what he's saying. Not talking about monetary gifts so that you get back. And here's what he said. What kind of giver does God like? Not begrudgingly, not under compulsion. He says, I don't want those kind of givers. And some of you might say, well, good, because I'm not giving, because that's where I'm at right now. No, God loves a cheerful giver. It means change your heart. Get excited to give because of all that God's given to you. Be willing to give because look what he gave you. He gave you eternal life. 10 billion years from now, you're still gonna be living in perfect fellowship with Jesus in a perfect life. I mean, there's no amount of money you could pay it forward with. Just be generous, be lavish with him. And God says this, and I'll make sure all grace abounds to you. I'll make sure you have everything that you need. The more you lean on me, the more I'll take care of you. The more you lean on me, the more I'll take care of you. Why is that important? Because people in Christ Church need to know that you cannot outgive God. You can't. When you say, I can't afford to give, here's why. Because you're not giving. Every time I hear somebody say, I can't afford to give, I'm like, that's because you're not giving. There never comes a time in your life, rarely. I don't know many stories where there comes a time in your life where no matter how much you make, you're like, my goodness, I've never given before, but I have so much excess here, I just want to give it to Jesus now. It won't happen. No matter how much your income grows, you'll spend it the same way you're spending it now. If you don't begin to prioritize the worship of God through your giving now, you won't prioritize it later. Start small. If you're faithful with little, you can be faithful with much. So releasing resources readily. Now, how did they do? Because God called them to do this. Check out chapter 36, verses 5, 6, and 7. After they started doing this collection, and they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command. Check out this command. And a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material that they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. So what do you have Moses saying? Stop bringing your resources and money to church. We have way too much. Keep it. That's what was going on. Because why? Because they brought it all. See, do you remember when they brought it for the golden calf? They gave it to him. They made this golden calf. They worshiped him. And after it, God said, strip all your jewelry off. I don't want you wearing jewelry anymore. They had to take it all off. They were in mourning. Now they've now taken all of that and they brought it to the Lord and they've given it all to the Lord. And now they have more than enough. Here's what I believe. God arranges all the parts of the body just the way he wants. It means everything God calls Brave Church to do, he already has all the right people in the body to do. We already have everything that we need. If everybody just does their part, we always have what we need. That's the way that God works. That was what was going on with them. Now notice what happens. If you flip forward just a little bit, we won't read through all this material. Let's read a couple of verses. But in chapter 38, verses 24, 25, and 26, here's what it says. All the gold that was used for working in all the work of the sanctuary, even the gold of the wave offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Now, if you do the calculations, that's tens of millions of dollars just for the gold alone for the furniture. And then it says this. The silver of those of the congregation who were numbered was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, a beka a head. That is half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary for each one who passed over to those who were numbered from 20 years old and upward for, notice this number, 603,550 men. Now, when they take the census in numbers, it's going to be the exact same number. Why? Because every single man over the age of 20 was accounted for, and every single man over the age of 20 gave. That's why they had more than enough, because everybody was all in. Now you think about this. I mean, if just for the furniture for this movable tent cost tens of millions of dollars, maybe $60 million just for the gold. I mean, we're talking about a $300 million tent. I got online at REI last night just to check out what their most expensive tent was. You can get their most expensive tent for under $5,000. I mean, you talk about a tent. This is a tent and a half. I mean, I'm not a big camper. I thought about this last night. God likes clamping more than camping like I do, right? I mean, he wanted everything just right in this movable tent. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, they got nothing on this tent. Why? Because God wanted it just the way he wanted it. And all the people, why were they giving so much? Why were they doing all this? They weren't complaining. That's a lot for a tent. Why do we really need to do this for a tent? Do we really need a tent? Can't we just make it out of wood? I mean, they weren't doing that. They were saying, if this is what God wants and this is what our leadership is telling us, we want to do it his way because here's what we want. We want his glory experienced among us. And if that's what God wants, we'll give him everything God wants. So that's what they were doing. So they were prioritizing his preeminence perpetually. They were releasing resources readily, so much so that they were holding it back. And then they were doing number three. They were showcasing skills specifically. Experiencing God's glory was predicated upon showcasing skills specifically. Before I get into this, let me just tell you, because I know the word of the Lord, and Psalm 139 says that every single one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that God created you uniquely. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, therefore, you were saved by grace through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God so that no one should boast. And verse 10 tells me this of Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that you would walk in them. Here's what he was saying. Not only did I make you unique, I made you for a purpose. And that purpose is the worship of me. Notice what he says in verse 10. Let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its hooks, its board, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and so on and so forth. All the things that we went through. What's he asking people to do? Serve me with your gifts. Now I've heard it said, choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Confucius said that. Okay, you can choose a job you love and it's more enjoyable to choose a job you love, but that's not what Jesus says. He says this, I created you in such a way that I get the most honor and glory from your life. Figure out how I get the most honor and glory and serve me in that way, right? See, it's not just giving money and resources, it's giving of your time and serving, right? Now you'll notice that in the last couple of weeks, we've had announcements at Brave. Our kids ministry is exploding, by the way. Do you know why? Because we're getting more families here. We're getting more kids here. And because we don't do babysitting, we do ministry. We're raising up kids in the knowledge of the Lord, which means we need more people to help disciple kids, right? So we've said, hey, would some of you consider that? And I know what happens. It falls on deaf ears because here's what you think. You think like me, I'm not great with kids. That's not my thing. And that is why most kids in church never see a man until they hit middle school or high school. So men, here's what I'm telling you, you're invited to serve too in a way that's really uncomfortable for you. And even if all you know how to do is pray, it will increase your prayer life if you go down there. But what will also happen is kids will see men that think that they're special enough that they would be there and be around kids. We're not doing women's ministry that babysits kids. We're doing children's ministry to raise kids up in the ways of the Lord. And see, here's what happens in church. We tend to pick a side. We tend to say, well, I release resources readily. I wish more people wrote checks like I did. If everybody contributed to the church like me, we'd be fine. And you may be right. And then there's other people on this side that say, you know, my service is my gift to the Lord. I'm here every Sunday and I serve and I greet or I usher, or I work in kids or I serve in college. That is my giving. That's what I'm doing. If everybody served like me, you know what? We wouldn't need all these other people saying, write a check. I mean, writing a check is so easy compared to serving. That's because you haven't written the check. And other people would say, you know what? Serving is so much easier than writing a check. That's because you haven't served. Well, which one does God want us to do? Ready? Both. Serve and give. And then your heart will be right with the Lord. So pick how he wants to use you. And here's the thing. How can you align all your gifts for his glory? And you might say, I don't even know what my gift is. And the reason for that is it's so natural to you that you don't even see it as a gift. Other people have to tell you, I can't really do what you do. Some people have gifts in communication. Some people have gifts in music. And some people have gifts with numbers. And some people have gifts with strategy. And some people have gifts with art. And some people have gifts with encouragement. And some people have gifts with compassion. And some people have gifts with serving, and some people have gifts with shepherding. And here's how you may know what your gift is. When you get upset that the church is not doing more of what you think the church needs to do, that's probably because it's your gift. How come the church isn't doing more prayer walks? And how come we're not evangelizing more? It's because you're an evangelist and everybody, you think everybody's just like you, and they're not. How come we're not doing more hospital visitations and going in among the sick and shepherding them and helping them? Because you're a shepherd and you're a caretaker, and that's what God's calling you to do. How come we don't have a food chain for moms that are home with their baby? Because that's your gift. I mean, and we want everybody to highlight our gift and then start ministries around your gift rather than just do the gift that you have and find others that want to do it with you and serve, right? That's how you know what your gift is. And then in your job, in your career, in your life, if you're at home, use all your gifts for the glory of God. If you can say at the end, Lord, everything you've given me to the best of my knowledge, I'm just doing what I'm doing to worship and serve you. Do everything you did, word or in deed, all to the glory of the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to become a pastor. It doesn't mean you have to work in a local church. It means you're gonna serve the Lord. You're prioritizing worship. You're serving his church. You're giving to his church. But maybe during the rest of the week, you're doing something distinctly different, but you're doing it in a way that brings glory and honor to the Lord. That's what it means to honor him. That's how we experience God's best among us. And this is what he does. I mean, I love how he calls these guys in chapter 36. It says, now, Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform it in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart was stirred to come to him to perform it. So he calls these two guys. And what you see later is as these two guys were doing what they were doing, he gave them specific gifts, not only to do this, but to teach what they were doing, to help people do what they were doing. Some people have ability in the church to do certain things. Some people have the ability in the church to do certain things and to teach people how to do certain things. Whatever your gift is in the church, that's what the Lord wants you to do. That's what the Lord wants you to do.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Experiencing God's Glory, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how true rest is found in worshiping him and trusting his provision. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift and keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, we'll say thanks with a downloadable 7-day devotional workbook based on the Family Fortified series. Visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.